go through life, we must remember to walk with God. We don't have to remember to walk every day, but when it comes to our walk with God, it takes mental effort. It takes discipline. It takes work. And Joshua is challenging these people, the leaders. Then he challenges the children of Israel specifically to take time and remember to walk with God. This week, so many things are going to come our way. So many responsibilities, so many activities we didn't plan on, so many opportunities that didn't even cross our mind. But will we take time to remember to walk with God? Father, we thank you for your love. I pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would make a difference. God, would you challenge us? Would you help us to listen and to respond as you speak to us? We will obey. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Joshua chapter 23, there's only 16 verses, but one of his final addresses, he begins off by saying he is what? Old. He's lived a long time. When I thought about this passage, I have to tell you, I thought about Pastor Bob. I am thankful for Pastor Bob. But really, when I think about this passage, I think about the time period when I was not here at church. 2 or so years ago, when Pastor Bob said, "I'm old and stricken in years." And yet, he didn't leave it like that. His challenge to the church family was remember to walk with God. And here, as God has called us here to Jeruel now, my challenge to you is remember to walk with God. It hasn't changed. We all need that everyday reminder to remember to walk with God. Number one, if we're going to remember to walk with God, I must remember the promises of God. Remember the promises of God. That's what Joshua starts off with. Yes, he's old, but you know what the thing he's pointing out about his age here? He's pointing that God has worked all through my life. We could look back at Joshua's life and see him from a young child, or from a young man, as he served Moses, as he was a spy who entered the land. 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad, 2 were good. He was one of those who trusted God. And because he did, God told him he would be one of the 2 of that generation to enter the promised land. So in a real sense, Joshua is a whole generation older than most everybody he's addressing. If Caleb's there, then he's in the same generation. Otherwise, he's quite a bit older than everybody else. He knows he's ready to die. But as he's getting ready to leave, he says, walk with God. Remember the promises of God. God has been with us since we left Egypt. He was there. He remembered. He remembered the plagues. He remembered the crossing of the Red Sea. Most of them didn't remember that. They heard of it. He remembered it. He remembered how God took care of them as they wandered through the wilderness for all those years. He remembered how God took care of their physical needs with the food, but also with their clothes and their shoes. He remembered how God took care of them then as they crossed over the Jordan River that was in flood stage. He remembered and reminded them, because now he's looking at certain promises that God had already fulfilled in their life that they could look back and say, I remember. He reminded them how God gave them victory over Jericho, Ai, all these other cities. He reminds them that God brought them into this land and gave them victory over these nations. He reminds them of the promises of God. Again, verse 2, and Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for all their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. He's reminding them to look at all the promises that God has already fulfilled. All that he's already done. Sometimes life gets tough. Joshua knew trials were going to come. But he said, remember all that God has done. Because sometimes we get distracted. And these things happen and things go on. And in our lives, what's going on? We've got to just go back and say, but God has done. There's an old chorus, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He cannot fail, his word is true, we're trusting him, he'll see us through. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Not that it's always easy, but we can look back and remember all that God has done. He's challenging them, remember all that God has done. He then challenges them to remember all that he's promised to do. He's told you he'll cast out these people that are among you. Because as much as God brought them in and they conquered the land, were there still people among their borders that needed to be conquered and destroyed? Yes. Because God had promised earlier that he would take them out little by little so that what? The land didn't overwhelm them and overthrow them. So there were still people divided among the land that were going to get destroyed as they would trust and obey God. So Joshua is reminding him, yes, there's work to be done, but remember that God has promised to see you through. Remember the promises of God. As we go through every day this week, remembering, yes, God has done great things, but God will. He's promised, and I can trust that. Joshua's reminding them again, you can trust what God has said. And so we get to verse number 6. After remembering the promises of God, what does he tell them to do? Be strong, be courageous. And it's incredible to think about that. He says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. How can they walk with God? Yes, they remember the promises of God, but number two, they need to remember to focus on their walk with God. Remember to focus on the walk with God. He's saying, because of all these things, because of the promises of God, be very courageous. If you and I are going to focus on our walk with God, we must be in God's Word. I must know God's Word. It must be part of my life. In our auditorium Sunday school class this morning, we were talking about King Saul and how he sought for God, but God didn't answer because Saul would not come God's way. He rejected God's way and did his own thing. Joshua reminds the children of Israel, you can be strong, but it does require God's word. Look at verse 6 again. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Joshua 1:8, it was one of our earlier memory verses of this year. It was really the first chapter we looked at in our study of Joshua as well. In fact, let's turn back there. Some of you may not remember that one. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And we see the reality of what he's talking about. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt what? Meditate or think upon, revolve it around in our mind. Not like the Hindu meditation of emptying our mind of everything. But the reality of revolving around the Word of God in my mind. See, he says, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Did the children of Israel have good success from Joshua 1 here through Joshua 23? Here we're looking at now. Yes, now there were times they didn't walk with God and there was defeat. Ai. There was sin in the camp that needed to be dealt with. And it was dealt with, and God brought them good success. because once again, the Word of God was priority. But in order for the Word of God to be priority in our church family, it must be priority in whose life? Our own. Each of us. Or it can't be priority as a church family. If you and I are going to remember to focus on our walk with God, I need to focus on my walk with God's Word. I need to remember His Word. Make it a priority. Not just on Sundays or Wednesdays. Not just on Bible study times. But I need to focus on God's Word daily. That I can walk in Him, knowing His Word. The word very, we've got very courageous. Back in Joshua 23, verse 6, be therefore very courageous. Again, we often know, well, very just means a lot more. This word very goes, I think, even a step beyond that, meaning vehemently, tremendously. And then this word courageous, to seize or to be strong. And thus courageous because of that. They were to be strong and courageous in what? Obeying God's Word. Making it a priority in their life to keep and to do. The word keep, to protect, to guard about, to hedge about, in the sense of preserving it, keeping it in my life. The natural tendency for our life is that the Word of God isn't kept in my life, preserved in my life. We sing about it sometimes in the hymn that we sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Well, when I don't make God's Word a priority and a focus of my life, I'm not protecting it in my life. If I'm going to focus and remember to focus on my walk with God, I must make His Word priority in my life. To know it, but to do it. Again, preserving it so that not distracted by the things of this life. Joshua is challenging them. Here they are in this land with people around them. That if we want to use New Testament terminology here, that are unsaved, the heathen, those who aren't following after God. Reminds me of us, huh? We are living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Because not everybody around us knows Jesus Christ as Savior. And not everybody around us who claims to know Jesus Christ as Savior either does or lives it out. I must live my life focused on the Word of God, not just knowing it. Yes, I need to know. But I can't be a hearer only, James says, but I must be a doer. And that's what Joshua is saying right here. To keep and to do. To do all. Not a little bit. Not the parts I like. Not the parts that come easy. We all struggle with different sins, don't we? We know what we struggle with. And so, man, we could say, well, I'm not going to obey in that area, but man, I'll obey in this one. Man, that one's so easy to obey in. Joshua is saying, you need to keep and to do all. As he challenged them back in Joshua 1:8, as God challenged Joshua, and thus him, the people, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have good success. Make thy way prosperous. Joshua says, remember to focus on the Word of God and doing it in your life. Remember to do it. He said that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. How many of you enjoy driving? Some of you drive and you don't enjoy driving. How many of you enjoy driving? I enjoy driving. I get in the car and, man, I just drive. And I enjoy that aspect of it. And when you drive, you can get what? Distracted sometimes, right? You ever ridden with someone who got distracted? You don't have to point them out, okay? And we get distracted from sometimes. And there are rumble strips to help us stay where you are. Some are on the right, and sometimes you'll get them in the middle of the road too, and it's like you can't go far, and it'll keep you there. Try to keep you focused. Joshua is saying, don't go to the right, don't go to the left, but really stay focused. You need God's Word. He said, there's so much in your life to distract you. You must focus on your walk with God. Focus on this priority of making it personal. You know, it's interesting. We'll go down to verse number 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. He's challenging them, yes, not to ignore, but to refrain from, be separated from the world. We'll talk about that in a minute. But to cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. There are 17 times in between verses 6 and 11 that the personal pronoun you, yours, yourselves, ye is used. 17 times between 6 and 11. That means it's my personal responsibility to take care of my relationship with God and keep the Word of God a priority, to keep the walk with God a priority, my relationship. Listen to this, beginning at verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. There's the personal responsibility of loving God. Because he is whose God? My God. He is a personal God and wants that personal relationship with me. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, he came down to this world to die on the cross for your sins so you could have your sins forgiven. So you don't have to experience the punishment for sin, which is separation from God forever in hell, but that you could have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, we say we don't have a religion. We have a relationship. Your God. Aren't you thankful that God is personal? That God cares when we go through difficult times, not only about his past promises that he's already fulfilled and the promises he's promised, but that he's your God. Let's focus on that relationship with your God, with my God. You know, we focus on the things that are ours. You try to be careful of other people's cars, at least when you pull into a parking lot. But man, you worry about yours. You try to take care of yours. You take care of the oil change and you take care of all the other responsibilities on it. You don't take care of everybody else's car, but it's yours. And you have a personal relationship with God. Are you focusing on that? Or are you just saying, yep, that was another week. It's another Sunday. It's another day. Let's take time to remember to focus on my walk with God. By making his word priority. By making my relationship with him priority, Joshua says. The word cleave, as he said in verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God. This word cleave means to be joined together. To abide. To stick. To catch. By chasing after. Man. I can have that kind of a relationship with God who made this world. And we give it up for what? Few more minutes on TV? A couple more chapters in that book? Busyness of life? Focus on our personal relationship with God. He said to take heed, verse 11, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Protect, the word heed, to protect, to hedge about or protect. We need to focus on protecting ourselves and our walk with God because it won't just come naturally. In fact, what comes naturally is wandering away from God, prone to wander. That's how we are, left to our natural man. If I'm going to remember to walk with God, I must remember to focus on that walk with God. And finally, I must remember to live a separated life. Yes, remembering the promises of God, those will encourage me to go on when life gets tough. And remembering to focus on my relationship with God and my walk with Him as I go through every day. But as I live life, Jesus hasn't removed me from this world. Otherwise, once you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you'd be gone. But he's called us to live in this world and be a light to the lost and dying around us. And yet, in the midst of being a light to them, we're told to be separate. And sometimes we get, how do I do all that? Where's the balance? I need to remember to live a separated life. Verse 7, what does Joshua warn the children of Israel to do? Really, to not do? He is challenging them to, in the midst of his challenge to focus on your walk with God, he's warning them of some distractions that come. Verse 7, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you. Remember these ones I've promised that I'm going to take away, God says? These are still among you. He said, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. He's warning them to be separate, if you will, even from the false religions of the day. Be separate from the false religions of the day. Because these nations, he wasn't warning them about the false religions of nations off far away. He's warning them about the false religions of the people who lived among them. And here in the United States of America, we have many false religions. Oh, be careful that everything that we judge and hear, we filter it through the Word of God. And here he's challenging them, be careful. Separate from this. Really, be careful how much priority you give it by talking about it. Now, our teenagers right now are going through a study on false religions. And knowing the reality of what God's Word says and why it's wrong. But see, what Joshua is challenging them, don't let these gods become commonplace in your life. There's so many different ways that can happen today. Then they could just talk about Baal or Ashtaroth or these gods of their day. Well, we say, well, that's ridiculous. And it is. But let's apply that to 21st century America. There are many who claim they're of Christ, and just talking about them like they're okay and everything's good is giving it commonplace in life. Again, we must love the sinner as Jesus does and hate the sin. And so when we talk about being separate from false religions, there's a point where we have to name it at times. There are Mormons. It's not of the Word of God. It's not of Jesus Christ. And just talking about them like it's a normal, natural, everyday thing just because they use the King James Version too, that's not. Jehovah's Witness, so many others, again, it's not about religion. It's about Jesus Christ, and it's that personal relationship with Him. One of the things I think about as I look at this, though, is not just the false gods, but the devil and the demons that are worshipped as well. We're talking about that in Sunday school here in the auditorium, and we'll get more into it when we get back from our vacation, but about the witch at Endor and what she really meant and what kind of religion she really represented. It was of the occult. Ouija boards, all these things that tarot cards and the horoscopes and all these things. And man, I remember as a kid, my mom would say, don't read the horoscope in the newspaper. Now I thought, well, that's just goofy. Because one, it was goofy. The times I would read it, it seemed so goofy to me. So what big deal is it to read it? But I think I understand a little bit more that my mom didn't want that to become commonplace in my life. Oh, that's just a normal thing. I just read that. Because it just makes it one step closer. And that's what Joshua is warning these children of Israel. Don't make mention of the names of their God. And then he moves on the next step. He says, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves. One step further, because it just got comfortable. One of the things that the Muslims want to do, to just become part of life. A mosque is a normal thing. Let's stand up and fight for the freedom of the mosque. Well, wait a second. This isn't just God. And we can't make these things commonplace in life. Making the false gods just a common thing. Yeah, that's not right, but. And we do that with sin. Because we just get desensitized to it. 40 years ago, hearing of a man and a woman living together outside of marriage, even in the culture, was taboo. But today, for a man and a man to live with each other in our culture is okay. And as a Christian, we say, that's not right, but it's the way it is. 40 years ago, when abortion, whoa, wicked, 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 and it is. But that's where we are today. And we just get desensitized to it. And here, Joshua's warning them, don't be desensitized to these false gods. Really, even to false worship of the devil and so many other things that are involved, these other nations are involved with. Focus, yes, on your walk with God, but remember to live that separated life from the false religions, but also from the ungodly people. Look at verse 12. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given. Who? You. Personal God. Personal blessings. But he's warning them, if you don't remember to live a separated life, there are consequences. And today the children of Israel experience consequences from that. The nation of Israel still. But what about me? I live among the world. But these principles are the same. We could look at the New Testament and be challenged. Oh, be careful who you have close relationships with. Oh, be careful if you're starting a business with whom you start that business with. Oh, be careful who you date because that might be who you marry. Joshua says, don't intermarry. Saved and unsaved, don't intermarry. It's not of God. There's the point of separation. In love. We don't go around hateful, spiting people. But here they were different. Why? Because they worshipped the one true God. Remember to live a separated life from ungodly people. Because close relationships can be distracting. The word cleave, once again we looked at that, they were to cleave to God and not to these people. And yet it's so easy for us to cleave to those we see because we don't see God. Yeah, God knows that someday I'll deal with it. No, God's right here, right now. But we see each other. We see the world around us. But that looks so good. He said, don't get distracted. Be careful in this area of separation so that I can live a godly life. Don't cleave to them in relationships. Don't cleave to them in marriage relationship. But he says, going into them and they to you. Wow. That close relationship aspect. Oh, be careful. There are consequences. You can choose, but God says, hey, there are consequences. And so in our lives, as I want to focus on a walking with God, I do. Anybody else struggle with their walk with God ever? Okay. Man, I want to walk with God. I need to remember the promises of God. Be encouraged, be strengthened. As Joshua then said, be very courageous because of them. I need to remember to focus on my walk with him. And as hard as it is, I need to remember to live a separated life from some things and some people. Yes, to be a witness, but oh, to be careful that their lifestyle doesn't distract me or desensitize me from cleaving to my God. Father, we thank you for your love.